Well, you're there in 1 Corinthians 9. Keep your place there. I'm going to read you a verse from Mark 16, 15. And it says there, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So in Mark 16, 15, we have a clear command from God to go out and preach the gospel, to be soul winners, to bear fruit. Proverbs 11, 30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So this verse says that someone that's a soul winner is wise in the eyes of God. And it says that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And so would be to God, God willing, that we can go out and get people saved. And then those that we get saved would become soul winners. And they would go and get other people saved. Okay? Ephesians 6, 19, it says, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So the Bible is really, really clear that we ought to be soul winners. We should go out and get people saved. We should preach the gospel. We should bear fruit, the Bible also calls it. Otherwise, we're just unprofitable. We're an unprofitable servant. We're really not useful to God. And so we ought to strive to be soul winners in our daily life and to have a soul winning time that we attend every week here in church. So we're commanded to be soul winners. We're commanded to preach the gospel. We're commanded to bear fruit. And, you know, I think about what happens to other people if I don't go soul winning, right? That's just the thought that comes in my head. You know, a lot of times when we go soul winning, and a lot of times when before I go soul winning, say on a Saturday morning, sometimes I'm really tired, I'm lazy, and, you know, I really don't want to go. But, you know, I'll end up going, and then I'll go, and we'll get someone saved. And then I think in my head, you know, what happens if I didn't go that day? Would that person have gotten saved? Would someone else have preached in the gospel? Is there another Baptist church out there that's out soul winning and preaching the real gospel and giving someone a clear presentation of the gospel? I don't know. I mean, I hope so, but, you know, I kind of doubt it. I kind of doubt if we don't go soul winning that someone else is going to do the job. And you think about it, we have a whole group of men and ladies that are at the Bahamas right now. And so they got on a plane, they traveled, and they went to the Bahamas, and God willing, they'll do a great work for God, right? God willing to get thousands of people saved. But, you know, I think about what happens if they didn't go. What happens if we didn't have this Bahamas mission trip? Would those people have gotten saved? Is there a church in the Bahamas right now that's out preaching the gospel, giving them a clear presentation of the gospel, that's got a vision for the Bahamas? I hope so, but I doubt it. You know, the Bible says in Ezekiel that God sought for a man, and he found none. I have the verse here. It says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord. You know, the Bible talks about others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. And so soul winning is one of the most important things we can do as Christians. And if we don't go soul winning, the fact is people are going to die and go to hell. That's a fact. The Bible says that if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And so when we hide our gospel, people stay lost. They don't get a clear presentation of the gospel. People end up dying and going to hell. And, you know, that alone should compel us to go soul winning. And, you know, this church makes it really easy for us to go soul winning. You know, you look at the bulletin, we have soul winning times literally every day. And so Pastor Shelley, this church makes it really easy for us to go soul winning. Really don't have any excuse not to go. And so when we don't go soul winning, right, people end up dying and going to hell. But, you know, Paul said, you're there in 1 Corinthians 9. Look at verse 16. 1 Corinthians 9, look at verse 16. It says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And, you know, we know that if we don't go and preach the gospel, people die and go to hell. And that affects other people. And that alone is a big deal. I mean, that should compel us to go out and go preach the gospel and save people from hell and get people saved. But you know what? You know what I think about on this verse? It says here, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Paul is saying that if he doesn't go out and preach the gospel, if he's not a soul winner, it's going to affect him. And I want you to think about what happens to you if you don't go soul winning. What happens to me if I don't go soul winning? How does that affect our life? How does that affect our Christian life, our Christian growth? Because Paul says here, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. You know, we know if we don't go preach the gospel, people are going to die and go to hell. But how does that affect you in your life? If you're not a soul winner, if you're not going soul winning every week consistently, you know, that's going to affect your life. It's going to affect my life. And so not preaching the gospel, not being a soul winner, is going to affect our life. It's going to affect our Christian growth, our Christian life, our service for God, our walk with God. It's going to have an effect on us. You know, I looked up the word woe in a dictionary, and they had some definitions or some synonyms. Some synonyms for woe is distress, affliction, trouble, tribulation, and suffering. And so, you know, I had this thought when I read 1 Corinthians 9:16. What happens to us if we don't preach the gospel? What happens to you if we don't preach the gospel? What happens to this church if we don't preach the gospel? And go, if you would, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I'm going to read to you from Matthew chapter 13, verse 23. It says there, "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So in Matthew 13, the Bible says that the seed that was received onto good ground are those that heard the word, they got saved, and they went out and produced fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. Well, what's that fruit talking about? It's talking about getting people saved. It's talking about going out, preaching the gospel, and getting people saved. And you think of a fruit tree, does it only, most fruit trees don't just bring fruit one time and then they die. Most fruit trees bring fruit every season. So a soul winner is going to bring 30, 60, 100 every year, right? Every season. You're in John 15. Look at verse 1. It says there, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." And so the Bible says here that if we're a branch and we're not bearing fruit, we're not going out sowing, and we're not preaching the gospel, well, God's going to take that branch away. You think about, you know, I did a little bit of research on pruning trees, and they say in order to make a tree or a plant flourish and become strong and grow and produce fruit, you have to prune that tree. You have to cut off these branches. So if you have a main branch and then you have offshoots coming out of these branches, you have to clip these offshoots because they're just sucking the life out of the plant. They're just dead weight. They're useless. And so you have to prune the tree for it to grow stronger. And so the Bible is saying here that if we're not bearing any fruit, that we're just going to be taken away. And because we're just dead weight, we're useless, we're not profitable, we're just taking up space, that branch is going to be taken away. Whereas it says, "Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit." So in contrast, on the other hand, if we are sowing, we are preaching the gospel, we are getting people saved, God's going to purge us, meaning that he's going to clean up our life. He's going to help us to clean up our life, to live a more godly life so that we can get more people saved. So when we go out and we preach the gospel and we get people saved, it benefits us. God's going to purge us. He's going to make us become better Christians, live a godly life, okay, so that we can go out and win more people to the Lord. But if we don't go sowing, that's not going to happen. We're not going to get purged. We're just going to be taken away. And look at verse 3. "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in me, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." So what's God's goal for our life is to bring forth much fruit. And we saw that in Matthew 13, it's talking about bringing forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. So it's talking about getting people saved, right? But look at verse 6. John 15, look at verse 6. It says there, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Then is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." And so the title of my sermon here is "The Woes of Not Being a Soul Winner." The woes of not being a soul winner. And I get that from 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 16, verse 16, where Paul said that, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Okay? And so my first point here is that not soul winning is going to cause our spiritual life to wither away. Not soul winning, not being soul winners, is going to cause our spiritual life to wither away. Notice in verse 6, I'll read it again. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So when we're not sowing, we're going to wither away. Our spiritual life is going to wither away. Now, this verse talks about being cast into the fire and they are burned. Obviously, you can't take a parable literally. And so once we're saved, we're always saved, right? Once we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust what he did for us, that he died, was buried, and rose again for our sins, we're saved, we're guaranteed to go to heaven. There's nothing we can ever do to go to hell. The Bible says that he gave us eternal life. We'll never perish. We'll never see death. We've been passed from death unto life. And so once we're saved, we're always saved. This is just saying that if we're not soul winnings, or if we're not soul winners, we're pretty much good for nothing. We're just good for fuel, you know, a branch that's withered away, it's dead, it's just good for fuel. And so it says that if we're not soul winning, if we're not abiding in Christ, we're going to wither. And so my first point, like I said, is not soul winning is going to cause our spiritual life to wither away. And I looked up the word wither in a dictionary. It says to become dry, to shrivel, to fade away, to decay, to dry up. Some synonyms it gave is to atrophy, to diminish, to dwindle, to lessen, to weaken. It says the grapes had withered on a vine. The plants withered and died. Is that something that we want in our Christian life? Do we want to just wither and just weaken and fade and decay? Because that's what the word wither means. And so the Bible is saying that not soul winning is going to affect us. You know, when we do soul winning, it'll benefit us. Obviously, when you go soul winning, we're getting people saved, and that's the main thing, right? You think about when you're going soul winning, you're getting people saved, you're pulling them out of the fire. But you know what? Soul winning also benefits you. Soul winning also benefits us. It helps our Christian life, because when we go soul winning, God purges us, okay? God helps us to clean up our life. We start reading our Bible more. We start going to church more. And see, the thing is, everything we do in a Christian life is intertwined. Everything we do in a Christian life complements each other. You know, the more we go soul winning, the more God purges us. The more we go soul winning, the more God's going to clean up our life, the more we're going to tend to go to church. The more we go to church, the more we're going to hear Bible. The more we go to church, the more we're going to read our Bible. The more we read our Bible, the more we're going to go soul winning. The more we go soul winning, the more we're going to come to church. And it's just a big cycle. And so it complements each other. And so when you have a gap in your Christian life, you know, you have a chink in the armor, everything else is going to fall apart. And so when we're not soul winning, well, God's not going to be purging us. When God's not purging us, we're going to tend to live a more worldly, carnal life. If we live a more worldly, carnal life, we're probably going to not be reading our Bibles at home. If we're not reading our Bibles as much, we're probably not going to go to church as much. And then before you know it, you're not soul winning, you're not reading your Bible, you're not in church, you're living a backslidden life, and it all started with not soul winning. And the thing is, Paul said, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." You know, I believe Paul understood this, and he said, yeah, hey, I go to preach the gospel to get people saved and make sure people hear the gospel and get to heaven. But you know what? I think Paul also preached the gospel because he knew it benefited him. Because he knew if he didn't, he said, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. He said, of necessity, I preach it. And yeah, it helps people. And obviously, you know, people, we need to get them saved. But you know what? Soul winning benefits you. And if you go soul winning, you're going to be stronger. You're going to be a better Christian. I mean, think about this. Who's more likely to serve God 10, 20, 30 years from now? And still be reading the Bible, still going to church 3 times a week, still living a godly life? Is it someone that doesn't go soul winning or someone that does go soul winning? You know, someone that goes soul winning consistently is going to be serving God for the long run. And so the first thing that sues you to go when someone's on that downhill is they just stop soul winning. And, you know, I know personally I've had friends that were on fire for God. They were going to church 3 times a week. They were reading their Bible. They were going soul winning. And the first thing that happened is they stopped soul winning. You know, started making excuses to why they couldn't go soul winning. And they said, well, hey, it's too far to drive to this church. Or they waste a lot of time out soul winning. They're knocking the same doors or whatever the case is. But they made excuses to why they couldn't go soul winning. And then all of a sudden, they weren't showing up for soul winning. And then you know what happened after that? They weren't showing up for church as much. You know, they were going 3 times a week, but then it's just once a week. And then it was a couple times a month, and then it was maybe once a month, and then you just never saw them at church. And I know this personally, my friends, and I don't know what they're doing today, right? But it all started because they stopped going soul winning. And so soul winning has a big impact on your life. It can impact you positively, or it can impact you negatively. And the thing is, that's usually the first thing to go is just not soul winning, and it's going to affect everything else in your life. And so on a positive side, if we do go soul winning, God's going to purge us. He's going to cause us to live a more godly life. That's going to cause us to read our Bibles. Reading the Bible is going to cause us to come to church. Coming to church is going to cause us to hear more Bible. We're going to do more soul winning, and just complements each other. But then when you remove soul winning, God's not purging you. You're living more worldly. All of a sudden, you're not coming to church. You're not reading the Bible, and it's all downhill from here. And this may take years to happen. It'll happen slowly. You won't even realize it. All of a sudden, you'll look back and you say, hey, I'm not in church. I'm not soul winning. I'm living an ungodly, worldly lifestyle. And it's hard to come back from that, you know. And so it's better not to go downhill and to keep going soul winning, because it's going to benefit you. You know, Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And you might think, well, hey, I used to go to this old IB church, and there's people there that I've been going to church for years that don't go soul winning. But, you know, the Bible says, unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And we know in this church that we're commanded to go soul winning. I just read you verses in Mark and Ephesians where God commands us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So God commands us to go soul winning, and God's going to expect more from us. You know, most of these people in old IB churches, they don't even maybe read the Bible. They probably don't even know that they have to go soul winning. And if they do, they think that just giving to a mission trip is their soul winning, or just putting a door hanger on a door is their form of soul winning. But we know better, right? We know we're supposed to go. We know we're supposed to bear fruit. We know we're supposed to go out and preach the gospel. And Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And go, if you would, to Luke chapter 13. Luke 13 here, we'll read another parable here of the fig tree. So Luke 13, look at verse 6. Luke 13, verse 6. Luke 13, verse 6, it says there, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. If it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. And so here we see another parable, another example of someone planting a fruit tree, a fig tree, and he's expecting it to bring forth fruit. And it doesn't. And he's saying in verse 7, why cumbereth it the ground? You know, this fruit tree is just good for nothing. It's not producing fruit. Just cut it down. It's just using up nutrients, and it's not profitable for anything. And, you know, that's the same way God looks at us if we're not sowing. You know, we're really not profitable for anything, right? We're just taking up space, right? We're just weakening the church, you know? And so that's not a good thing, right? And so we want to make sure that we strive to go sowing. We want to make sure that we're a soul winner. And you know what? I just read the bulletin, and we literally have soul winning times every day in this church, you know? And so really, really don't have any excuse not to go soul winning. So I want to exhort everyone, and I want to encourage everyone to pick a soul winning time. You know, look at that bulletin. I mean, we have soul winning times every day. We got the church van that we can just, you don't even have to use your own gas. You can just come on Sundays, hop in the van, just go soul winning with us. We got ladies soul winning times. On Tuesdays, we have missions trips. We have soul winning marathons. I mean, this church makes it really easy for us to go soul winning. And so if we're not soul winning at this church, you know, think about this. What if you have to move? What if your job moves you and you have to move across town or somewhere else and go to another church, an old IB church? You know, they don't make it this easy to go soul winning, right? They may have soul winning once a week and you can't show up. And, you know, I've been at a lot of old IB churches and, you know, praise God, you know, they have soul winning. But, you know, it's not as organized as this church. In an old IB church, if you're just knocking the same block, like, every week, it seems like. You know, and all they care about is their bus ministry and just inviting people to church. And it's not organized. They have no vision. There's no maps. I never got a map in an old IB church. They just drop you off, knock this same block, and they're just more concerned with just bringing people in church. So we really make it really easy for everyone here to pick a soul winning time. So I just want to exhort you that not sowing is going to affect our life personally. And I don't preach to myself also. You know, when I read this verse, I want to make sure that I go sowing so that God can purge me. I want to make sure that everyone in here goes sowing. And you know how important it is, right? Because you might think, well, hey, it's not really going to affect me. Yeah, if I don't go sowing, people are going to die and go to hell. And, you know, okay, whatever. But the thing is, it will affect you. It will affect your Christian life. You're going to start going on this downhill spiral. Okay, so you want to make sure you go soul winning. And when you go soul winning, God's going to purge you. You're going to be in church more. You're going to read your Bible more. It's going to impact all areas of your life. And so I don't think we understand how soul winning can impact our life, right? Most of the time when you think about soul winning, you think about other people and getting other people saved, and praise God, I'm not downplaying that, but soul winning is going to affect your life. It can affect it positively or it can affect it negatively. You know, the Bible says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so God wants us to be perfect, entire, not lacking anything. And so if we're missing a big chunk of our life, you know, we could be reading our Bibles, we could be going to church, we could be raising a godly family, living a godly life, but if we're not soul winning, you know, how long is that going to last, right? I mean, how long are we going to keep doing that? And so soul winning is needful in our life. It's going to help us live a more Christian, live a more godly life. It's going to help us serve God more. And then God's going to purge us, and that whole cycle is going to be complete. And so take a look at the bulletin, you know, pick a soul winning time. I'm not saying make a vow to God. Don't do that. Don't say, hey, God, I'm going to go soul winning every Monday for the rest of my life. The Bible warns us about making vows and not keeping them. So I'm not telling anyone to make a vow or to swear anything. The Bible says swear not at all. I'm just saying just between you, just look at the bulletin and say, hey, I'm going to do my best to make this my soul winning time. And then say you already go soul winning once a week. Why don't we try to up that? If you go soul winning once a week, why don't you try to go twice a week? All right? If you already go twice a week, why don't you try to go on a soul winning trip, a soul winning marathon, or a missions trip? Or maybe we can learn Spanish. And every time I go soul winning, I run into a ton of Spanish people. And you could learn another language. You could learn Spanish. And now you just open the door wide open to all these Spanish speakers here. So there's always areas where we can do better for God and do more for God. So that's point number one. Not soul winning is going to cause our spiritual life to wither away. But also what I think about is what happens to our children, those of us that have children, what happens to our children if we don't go soul winning? What happens to our children if mom and dad don't go soul winning? What happens to our kids, our sons and our daughters, if they don't see mom and dad out soul winning? What's going to happen to them? What's going to become of them? Because, you know, it's not enough for kids to hear a sermon about soul winning. They have to see mom and dad go soul winning. We have to set the example for them. And so what's going to happen to our children if they don't see mom and dad go soul winning? And so point number two is not soul winning is going to cause our children's spiritual life to wither away. Us not soul winning is going to affect our children negatively. It's going to cause their spiritual life to wither away. Go, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 31. 1 Samuel chapter 31. And I'm going to read to you from 1 Samuel chapter 10. You're going to chapter 31. But the Bible says in 1 Samuel 10, then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head, talking about Saul, and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? So we see that Saul started off great. Saul was anointed as king of Israel. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. God gave him a new heart. The Bible says that he prophesied with the prophets. So he started off great. He started off on fire for God. He was doing great things for God. But then Saul withered away. Saul backslid. He disobeyed God, and he withered away. And because he withered away, he affected his children. Look in chapter 31, 1 Samuel 31. Look at verse 2. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Aminadab and Melchishua, Saul's sons. So three of his sons died in battle here. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men that same day together. What a horrible, sad ending here for Saul. He started off great. He started off the king of Israel. God anointed him. Samuel anointed him. He was filled with the Spirit, the Bible says. He prophesied with the prophets. God gave him a new heart. And then look how he ends up. He ends up dead, and all three of his sons die, or his three sons die. And so Saul's sons here died physically because he was backslidden, because he didn't serve God. And God forbid that we should destroy our children's spirituality, our children's walk with God, because we're not soul winning. Because we see here that because Saul was backslidden and because he disobeyed God, that affected his children. His three sons died in battle. And so by us not soul winning, by us not setting a good example for our kids, we could end up quenching our kids' zeal for God, destroying our kids' spiritual future, destroying their walk with God. Because kids look up to their parents. You know, children look up to their mom and dad. They have to see mom and dad soul winning. You know, I don't know about you, but my kids love going soul winning. I mean, they would literally cry if I don't take them soul winning. Because I got to pick. I can't take all of them. So I'll just pick one of them, and the other will just start crying and just sobbing because I don't take them soul winning. So kids, naturally, they love to go soul winning. I mean, children here, who here loves to go soul winning with their mom and dad? Raise your hand. See, all the kids are raising their hand. So kids love to go soul winning with their parents. They just want to be outside. They want to play. And, you know, let's take advantage of that. Let's take our kids soul winning with us. Let's not quench that and never take them soul winning because we don't go soul winning. You know, and so we need to set a good example. And so Saul's sons here, they died physically, but we can destroy our kids' future spiritually if we don't go soul winning. You know, Paul said, woe is unto me if I don't preach the gospel. And so woe unto us and on our kids if we don't go soul winning. And so God forbid that we should quench our children's zeal by not going soul winning. And so if we don't go soul winning, they're not going to go soul winning. It's not like you're going to have two, 4 or 5 year olds going soul winning door to door by themselves, right? Their parents have to take them. And so train your kids to grow up and become soul winners. Set a good example for them. Let them see mom and dad go preach the gospel. And like I said, it's not enough for kids to come here and hear sermons about soul winning. You know, they have to go with you. You have to take them. Mom and dad have to take their kids out soul winning. And, you know, honestly, I understand it's hard. I got 4 kids, and I understand taking all 4 with me soul winning is difficult. You know, keeping them quiet and stuff like that. But, you know, we can, there's things we can do. We can work around that. I mean, I don't have to take all 4 of them. You don't have to take all your kids soul winning. Just take one and then cycle through. Or maybe, you know, you can watch the kids while your wife goes soul winning. Or you can watch some of the kids and have your wife take 1 or 2 out soul winning with her. Or vice versa. You know, I remember we did this thing with my friends where we would meet them at a park. And the guys would stay and watch the kids. And then we'd have the ladies go soul winning. Maybe take 1 or 2 kids with them, or vice versa. Or I have go over people's house, or they come over my house. The ladies will watch the kids, and then the guys will take 1 or 2 kids with them and go soul winning. So it's very important to take your kids with you soul winning. It's going to have a big impact on their life. It's going to affect them positively when they see their mom and dad going soul winning, but it could affect them negatively. It will affect them negatively if we don't ever go soul winning and we don't take them with us. And so take your children soul winning with you. Children love going soul winning. And, you know, a couple things you can do is get them a Bible. You know, get them a soul winning Bible. Sit down with their kids. Highlight the verses with them. You know, encourage their zeal. Teach them how to give the gospel. Talk to them. And, you know, I will say this. I believe, you know, my daughter Salome, she got saved when she was 4 years old. And I believe a big part of that was because we took her out soul winning a lot. You know, and I'm not boasting or anything. I'm just saying, you know, because we took her out soul winning with me, it was really easy to get her saved because she had heard the gospel literally hundreds of times out soul winning. And even today, she would tell me when we knock on the door, she'd say, hey, Daddy, that guy's not saved. He's trusting in his works. Because I'd ask her, hey, Salome, do you think this guy's saved? She's like, no, Daddy, he's not saved. You know, and so taking your kids soul winning with you is going to help to get them saved at a young age, you know. And one thing I've noticed going to other churches, old Ivy churches, is that the church I used to go to, they had a Christian school. And so they had the teenagers had to go soul winning on soul winning times. And what I noticed is I used to go soul winning with the teenagers. The teenagers whose parents were soul winners, they were solid on the gospel. I mean, they could tell you exactly how to get saved. They tell you when they got saved, what it takes. I mean, I would question them. They were solid on the gospel. But you know what? The teenagers whose parents didn't go soul winning, a lot of times they weren't even saved. And they were teenagers. And we'd get them saved out soul winning. And, you know, so that's got a big effect on our kids when they don't see you get you going. Because, you know, when you don't go soul winning, it starts going downhill. You start not being interested in soul winning. And then you don't even give the gospel to your kids. I mean, it always boggled my mind how parents were saved, but their kids weren't. But there's a lot of that in a lot of other churches, old Ivy churches, where the parents are saved, but the kids aren't. And so take your children with you soul winning. Let them hear the gospel. And go, if you would, to Psalm chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78. I'll read to you from Proverbs 22:6. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So the Bible says, train up a child when he's young in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So we should train up our children when they're young to go sowing and take them with us out sowing and get them a sowing Bible. You say, hey, my kids always rip Bibles up. My kids do the same thing. Every Bible I give them, they just rip it up. It's okay. Get them a Bible from a Dollar Tree, you know? And so it's not a big deal. I understand the, you know, ripping up Bibles and stuff like that. Kids do that all the time. But, you know, I like to have my kids sit with a Bible on their lap in church. When we go sowing, they have their own Bible. They're holding my tracts for me. And so involve them in your sowing. It's going to have a big impact on their life. Look at Psalm 78. Psalm 78, look at verse 1. Psalm 78, verse 1. Maskil of Asaph, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. Look at verse 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should raise and declare them to their children. You know, so God is saying here as parents, we need to pass down the word of God to our children. You know, that's our responsibility. And, you know, one of my greatest goals in life is for my kids to grow up and be soul winners. I want to teach and instill into my children to go out and go sowing and preach the gospel, to love people. And, you know, like I said, going sowing is going to get people saved, and that's great. I'm not downplaying that. But you know what? It's also going to affect us. It's going to benefit us. It's going to benefit us as the parents. It's going to benefit our kids. So we do it for us, too, because it's going to benefit us. Otherwise, we're going to be on this downhill of just not sowing, not going to church, not serving God. Our kids are going to grow up and not be sowers. You know, let me ask you this. If we're not sowing, could we expect our kids really to grow up and be soul winners if they never see mom and dad out soul winning or just sporadically? If we don't go soul winning, we can't expect our kids to grow up and go soul winning. We have to show them how it's done and take them with us. You know, the Bible says in Genesis 18, you don't have to turn there, about Abraham. God said this about Abraham, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Abraham was an example to his children, and we should be as well. And so the good thing is that if we go sowing, we're going to instill that into our children. You know, first sowing every week and we take our kids with us, that's going to have a big impact on our kids. You know, I remember the things that I did with my dad. I don't remember the things that I did necessarily with other people or friends that I had. But you know what? I remember when my dad sat down with me and explained things to me. And it could be just, you know, worldly things, you know, like fixing something or doing some plumbing or electrician or something like that. But, you know, I remember sitting down with my dad and him explaining things. I could tell you exactly what he told me, when he told me, where we were. And so kids remember things that their parents taught them. Kids are going to remember going sowing with their dad. They're going to remember when their dad knocked doors in the heat or in the cold and was giving people the gospel. That's going to stick with them. That's going to have a huge impact on their life. And that's going to impact how they serve God. And so if they grow up and they hear preaching, say, against soul winning or against calling upon the name of the Lord or some other heresy, they're going to know, hey, that's not true. That's not right. Hey, I went soul winning with my dad. I went soul winning with my mom. You know, I saw them bow their head and pray with people to get them saved. I know it works. And so they're not going to be fooled by false doctrine or heresy or things like that. And so kids are always going to remember things that they've done with their parents, with their mom, with their dad. It's going to stick with them. And so it's really important that we take our kids out sowing. It's going to impact them so much in their life, and it's going to bless them so much. They're going to grow up. You know, the Bible talks here in Psalm 78, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. So, I mean, we don't even can't comprehend the impact of us going sowing it could have on our children, on their children, on future generations to come. It talks about children which should be born. And so when we go sowing and take our children with us, it'll cause them to be sowers. They'll grow up. They'll be sowers. They'll take their kids out sowing. Our grandchildren will be sowers. Our great-grandchildren will be sowers. And it's just going to impact generations to come. My first point was not sowing is going to cause our spiritual life to wither away. Point number two was not sowing is going to cause our children's spiritual life to wither away. But also, not sowing is going to cause this church to spiritually wither away. Remember, the title was Woe Unto Me, right? Paul said, Woe Unto Me if I preach not the gospel. So there's a negative effect of not sowing, but there's also a positive effect for not for going sowing. And so my third and final point is not sowing is going to cause this church to spiritually wither away. And you know, I've seen this in my life. I'm sure you guys have seen this. You know, the first thing that happens to a church when they start going downhill is they scale back sowing. They change it to just visitation. Or, you know, I used to go to church up north, and they would only go sowing in the summer because it was too cold in the winter, and they would just go in the summer. And so the first thing that happens when a church goes worldly or carnal is they scale back sowing. And eventually they stop going sowing. They're not even sowing anymore. And then you know what they do? They take Baptist off the name, right? They take Baptist off the name. They change it to just Steadfast Bible Church. There's a church in my town. They sent me a tract. It's just whatever Bible Church. They just take Baptist off the name. And then eventually it just Steadfast. We're not Baptist. We're not a church. We're just Steadfast, like all these just one-word churches. And so the thing is, you know, if a church stops sowing, it's an effective church as well. All of a sudden, we're going to stop sowing. Then we're not even King James only anymore. We're bringing in modern versions. And then the music's different. And it's all downhill from here. Look at Revelation chapter 2. Revelation 2. So my third point is not sowing is going to cause this church to spiritually wither away. Look at Revelation chapter 2. This is the church in Ephesus. The church in Ephesus. Revelation chapter 2. Look at verse 1. It says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So notice here in verse 4, this church at Ephesus, they left their first love. What's the first love? Sowing, right? Going out preaching the gospel. They left their first love. It says God commands them to repent and do the first works, right, which is sowing. And he says even that if they don't do that, he's going to remove the candlestick from them. So in God's eyes, a church that's not sowing is not even a church in God's eyes. They may have a sign that says they're a church and they may gather together. But in God's eyes, if they're not sowing, you know, it's not even considered a church in God's eyes. And so as a church, it's important that we go sowing as a church. You know, God's going to bless us as a church if we go sowing, and God's going to protect us. Otherwise, you know, if we're not sowing, we're not even considered a church. So being the first love and the first works, it's the most important thing. Sowing should be the top, right? We ought not to lessen the significance of sowing. It's the first love, the first works. It's our main job. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of churches, you know, sowing is not the main thing. Like I said, I've gone to other churches in my life, and churches that even have sowing, it's not the main thing because they have so many other ministries. You know, they got the Sunday school, they got the Christian school, they got Patch the Pirate, they got whatever bus ministries going on. And so you show up for sowing, and it's like you and a couple of teenagers that are going out sowing. Where's everybody? And this church is running like 300-400 people, you know, but everyone else is busy. They're teaching Sunday school classes, they're on the bus, they're teaching Patch the Pirate, they're doing this, senior citizens ministry, prison ministry. I'm all for that, you know, but that's taken away from sowing. I'm not for it if it's taken away sowing, if it's taken away from people going sowing. And a lot of these things are just, you know, there's really no point. And so the difference between a church like this and any other church, you know what differentiates us as a church? You know, when you go to any other IFB church or any other church in the area, the big difference between this church and any other church is if you walk down this hallway and look at the sowing maps, right? That's the vision. That's the goal. I've never been to another church that has sowing maps that actually highlight and mark the houses that they've gone sowing, the houses that they've knocked. You know, that's our vision. That's the goal. You know, when I walk in and I look at those maps, That's the goal. That's the vision of this church. And the Bible says that where there is no vision, the people perish. And a lot of these old IB churches and other churches, you know, they have no vision. They have no goal. They're not marking down. They don't have any maps. They're not keeping track of the doors they knock. Like I said, it's just the same block that they knock every week just for visitation. And, you know, I've learned a lot from the churches. I'm not dogging any other church. You know, the churches I've gone to, I've learned a lot from them. The pastors of these old IB churches, I've learned a lot from them. It was a blessing in my life. But you know what? The sowing can be better. The sowing can be more organized. You know, they have all these resources and all this money and all these people. If they would just take that resource that God's given them and focus on soul winning, they would do so much for God. And here we are, you know, we don't have as many resources as they have, but we're doing more soul winning than they are. And so what separates us from other churches is those soul winning maps. You know, that's the goal. That's the vision. And I want everybody here to be part of highlighting those soul winning maps and be part of that great vision that this church has. And, you know, would to God, 20, 30 years from now, we can all stand back and look at those maps and see them all highlighted and say that we've not shunned to declare the gospel to everybody in around us here. And we can look back and see these maps highlighted, these doors knocked, everyone hearing the gospel because of Steadfast Baptist Church. I want you guys to be part of that. I want our kids to be part of that. I want our grandchildren to be part of that. Otherwise, why are we here? What are we doing here? You know, what's the purpose of us being here? We're just going to wither away, you know? And so the Bible says, look in Psalm chapter 1. The Bible says in Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so we know that the solution to not withering, the solution to not fading away, the solution to not just being unuseful to God and not being profitable is to go soul winning. And so look at that bulletin, pick a soul winning time, and say, you know what, I'm going to do my best to look to pick a soul winning time. You know, we have soul winning every day. I mean, I think I saw there was a day where there's two soul winning times in one day, you know. And so there really is no excuse for any of us not to go soul winning. And, you know, Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. You know, soul winning, not soul winning is going to affect us negatively. It's not going to be good for us. You know, it's going to cause us to spiritually wither away. It's going to cause our children's future to spiritually wither away. It's going to cause this church to wither away. But you know what? Soul winning could have a huge impact on our life. I don't think we can comprehend how just soul winning every week can impact our life, our kids' life, and the future generations to come. And if you would, go to Acts chapter 20, and we'll close out here. Acts chapter 20. And, you know, Paul knew the importance and the significance and the impact being a soul winner can have. Acts chapter 20, I'll start reading in verse 19. It says, they're serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Great people the Jews are, huh? And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So notice Paul said here in verse 20, I've kept back nothing. Paul preached the gospel house to house. He was a soul winner. He knew that if he didn't preach the gospel, it would affect his walk with God. It would affect his spiritual life. And then drop down to verse 26. Acts 20, verse 26, it says there, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. You know, Paul said he's pure from the all blood, from the blood of all men. He wouldn't have said that if it wasn't true. And so I believe Paul literally preached the gospel to everyone around him. He said, I'm pure from the blood of all men. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And would to God we can say that one day here, that we're pure from the blood of all men. We preach the gospel to this whole area around us. And, you know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, it says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. You know, a lot of us here are first-generation Christians. I know I am. And, you know, I want to set an impact on my family. I want, like I said, I want my kids to grow up and be soul winners. I want their children to be soul winners. I want everyone in here to be a soul winner. And I want you guys to kind of understand and comprehend, you know, this one thought, that soul winning is going to have a huge impact on your life. It's going to have a huge impact on your kids' life. And so let's all serve God together. Let's all as a church be on board with Pastor Shelley and Steadfast Baptist Church. You know, this church makes it so easy to go soul winning. And let's all be part of that map, filling it in, highlighting it in. And, you know, one day when we're all old and shriveled up and you know, we can hardly walk, we can all look at that map and say, you know, we're pure from the blood of all men. We've not shunned to declare the gospel to Texas. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this church, Lord. Thank you for Pastor Shelley. Lord, I pray that you would bless all the ladies and men that are in Bahamas, that you'd fill them with the Holy Spirit, help them to preach your word, and help them come back safe, Lord, and help us all here to get home safe. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.